To be self-disciplined calls for strength of character born of humility to the divine. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. To be disciplined calls for strength of character born of humility to the divine. How many of us have that wonderful strength of character born of the humility to the divine? Well, we all can, and we all do. We have that strength of character that stands for things that mean something to us, that stand for something that is important to us, that is of value to us. Our family is, we have strength of character when we are dealing with our family. We have strength of character when we are dealing with what we have been educated in. We have strength of character when we're dealing with our country. Our country. We have more strength of character in our country than we do with our family. Strangely enough, that's quite true. We have more strength of character in our country than we do with our family. When it's born of humility out to the divine, then the strength of character has value. To protect a nation is a wonderful thing. To protect a community is a wonderful thing. To protect a family is a wonderful thing. But the most wonderful thing, really, is, and the word protect doesn't really fit here, but protect yourself. To be disciplined calls for strength of character. This is in yourself. And it's born of humility to the divine within yourself. We oftentimes look outside of ourselves, we make commitments, we make decisions, and these commitments and decisions are sort of useless, worthless things that really benefit us not one little bit. Oh, they excite us. They excite us when we want to protect our country from someone else taking advantage of our nation or supporting our nation or whatever. Oh, that's a very noble and a very wonderful and a very called-for experience. But when we really are working on the divine, when we're working on humility to the divine within each one of us, within ourselves alone, we are working on the highest character strength that we could ever know. Because that's where it's all at. That's where everything begins and ends, with humility to the divine. Now, just what does humility to the divine mean? Well, the first thing that humility means is respect. Respect to the divine within us, within me. What would God in me expect me to do under any given circumstances, really? Not what my country wants me to do, not what my family want me to do, not what my circumstances want me to do, but what would the divine in me want me to do? Well, this takes the greatest strength of character of all, because it goes contrary to our human attitude. Our human attitude is always calling for a human response, a human way of looking at things, a human way of thinking about things. And this human way is a very small way indeed. A very, very small way. Because this human does not take into account our original purity and integrity, does not take into account who we really are. We are divine. Now, we can be human, and we can be aware of our divine, but we cannot be human and divine at the same time. Because when we are divine, we are the finest, the most noble, the most magnificent beings that we could ever be. And unfortunately, a human can never rise to that level. Does that mean that we have to give up being human to be divine? No. It means that first we are divine. First we think what the divine requires of us, demands of us, expects of us, what the divine thinks of us. It's not a matter of demanding and expecting, but thinks of us. What is the divine in us? It's our highest and best. It's our most noble desires, our things that transcend all humanity. And for us to say anything transcends humanity sort of takes us into a totally different ball game, a totally different activity field. And disciplining ourselves calls for a strength of character on disciplining ourselves relative to humility to the divine. How do I act when I am humble to the divine in me? How do I think when I am humble to the divine within me? How do I respond in my world, in this outer physical human world, when I am responsive, humble, to the divine within me? Now, the divine within me says, I am wonderfully made. I think we all buy that. Whether I'm human or divine, I'm wonderfully made. And since I'm both human and divine, I am wonderfully made. But the divine of me never changes. The divine of me is always my highest and best. The divine of me is always the ideal me. The human is ever-changing according to the activities that are surrounding it, that it's involved in, that it chooses to engage itself in. A divine person would never go to war, because a divine person who truly is divine, living from that strength of character of being divine, would say, there now is peace on earth, and that's it. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. And if the divine says that, the divine doesn't really say that. You say that because you're divine. You say that because that's the reflection of who and what you are. You are divine. And so, is there war in the divine? Never. Is there peace in the divine? Never. Huh? No war, no peace? Well, what's going on here? Well, in the divine, all is. And there is no judgment, and there is no decision that something is better than something else. There's no feeling that you want something that belongs to somebody else. There's no feeling that you are superior to somebody else. All is. In the divine, the reality of life is revealed as its ideal. In the divine, everything is revealed as its ideal. Now, do you want to be the ideal man? Well, it's going to take quite a leap from where you are right now to being the ideal man. Because the strength of character it takes to be the ideal man is quite a discipline, and the human finds it very difficult to do that discipline. Can you look at all the world, all the illusion, all this world of illusion that you have created and brought yourself into through the years of your life, and can you stop right where you are and say, now, there is balance. Now, there is peace. Now there's unconditional love. And not even unconditional love, because love has no conditions. Love has no conditions, no judgments whatsoever. Love is. Love is not even the liking of something. Because to like something means that you treasure it or you think that it's good. And it's not good or it's not treasured. It's just it is. And when all things are done as an is, on a beneficial basis, which is what humanity does, because there's no beneficial qualities in the divine. There's no beneficial qualities in the allness. The allness does not consider up or down, in or out, as a beneficial quality, because there are none of those things in the allness. And you say, well, my goodness, why are we talking about the divine? That's something far beyond anything we can comprehend, far beyond anything we can appreciate or want or desire. Well, that's just it. There are no wants, no desires in the divine. The divine is. Why do we want to be humble to the divine? Well, the divine is our ideal. The divine is the fulfillment of everything that is good and beautiful. It is the ideal being. It is the ideal life. It is the ideal of all. It's the ideal. And once we enter into respect of that ideal, humility.